لله وحده وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again has given us an opportunity to recite the Quran. He has given us an opportunity to listen to the Quran. He has given us an opportunity, hopefully, to reflect upon the Quran. This is a surah we have heard many times from childhood. However, you will notice every time you read it, every time you listen to it, it functions as a therapy. It functions as a point of reflection. Allah in the Quran is saying, وَالضُحَى, and according to one tafsir. And before we talk about the tafsir, you have to understand that the surah was revealed after a time in which revelation has somewhat halted. There was a gap. And as a result of the gap in revelation, and by the way, if the Quran had been a product of the Prophet ﷺ, had him and his companions been writing it, then there wouldn't have been a reason for him to be concerned as to why there is a gap. He would have just went in the back room, somebody would have written up something, here there is a new revelation. That's what it had been. But the revelation is a reality. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down, communicates with him, shares with the Beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam certain vital information, and this had stopped. There was a woman, by the name of Jamila, and she began laughing at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means she too knew that the revelation was real. Imagine a person, one is, I praise you because I know you. But imagine if an enemy acknowledges your presence, then it means you are really a person that has some worthy appeal. So she began laughing and saying, oh, now revelation has come to an end. Or it has been halted. The Lord of Muhammad, in other words, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has now left him. He has nothing. In fact, there are even reports that have come that when he goes away, the message will come to an end, because he has no sons to carry on this message. So Allah, according to one tafsir, says, وَالضُحَى. That means you are like a bright light. And how we say the sun is bright. It has the ability to create change on earth. When the sun comes out, it allows for germination in the ground. It allows the seeds to gradually disintegrate after water has entered it. It allows for photosynthesis. It allows for vegetation. We give so much of credit to the sun. Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, likewise, you will provoke new thinking. You will provoke new ideas. You will provoke change. You will create the senses to open up after knowledge has went into it and share new forms of information and outcomes to people and generations to come. You are like the sunlight. وَالضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And the tafsir says, as far as your hair is concerned, your beauty is concerned, because the dark, the Rasulullah is hair, it was known, and many hadiths talk about it. It had a uniqueness to it, it had a certain shine to it, it had a certain length, where the Sahaba talked about that it was magnificent in nature. And you look at a lot of people in today's time, they focus about hair. Ask a man is losing his hair, what he does. Ask a man with his hair getting white, what he does. Automatically, he wants to die. He wants to get this grafting done. Hair is important to him. If you look at Arabic and Arab culture, hair has been important to them as well. That is why there are different lengths of hair that is talked about in the books of fiqh and the books of hadith. Now you will say, what's the big thing about hair? That's what you will say. Why do we talk about it? Allah is passing a unique message here. One is, you will create change from within, mind, heart, etc. And the second part is saying, outer beautification is also important and significant. That is why, in Islam, I mean, I don't know where this came about from, but as far as Islam is concerned, in fact, you study the life of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was not a child bride. She was not set up, okay, now you are young, that boy is young, get you together, so we can protect the assets of the family. All that didn't take place. So we can protect our image, we can make grandma happy when you get married, so and so. All that didn't take place, because Allah realizes, Rasulullah, Allah inspired it, that people may look very cute when they're babies, but when they grow older, things change. They have breakouts. They may go through an accident. May Allah protect over you. Things happen beyond our control. That is why, later in life, if you like that person indeed, then you will get married. If you don't like that person, Allah, 1.7 billion Muslims, I'm sure you can find someone else. Allah will find someone help. As one girl makes a dua, she says, you know, I am 24 years old. I'm not married. I'm having a hard time. I'm someone attractive. What do I do? So I didn't answer. I just put that comment up there. And another girl responded by saying, sister, I have the same situation. Every day I make one dua and I'm happy making. Oh Allah, if the other individual out there is not as religious or more religious than me and cannot give me comfort in my life and cannot take me closer to my Creator, oh Allah, do not get me married to such a person. So the person is saying, be thankful that you are single, because that's what Allah wills for you. That is the best thing for you. Because if Allah wanted you to be married, Allah would have gotten you married. Imagine this advice. How many of us make that dua? That, oh Allah, give me a partner that will take me to the next level. No, we don't do that. What we say, oh Allah, get me married. Oh Allah, find me someone. And then you end up messing up your life and the life of others. So, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, oh you who have beautiful hair, beautiful shape, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى, Allah has not forsaken you. Allah has not left you. Allah has a special place for you. And this applies to each one. It's as if the surah is talking to you and I. Who doesn't have problems here? Who does not go through difficulties here? You name it, political, social, economical, you name it. Everyone is going through something. And the message here is, just because you are going through something, does not mean you are a nothing in the eyes of Allah. But that's why when the Sahaba used to come to Rasulullah and say, I love you, Rasulullah. What do you used to say? What you and I would say? Thank you. Love me more. That's what we say. Tell others you love me. Make them love me too. So I can get the most amount of tweets. I can be recognized on Facebook. If you like me, don't just say, go click on them. I have 5,000 likes, 10,000 likes. That's our definition of liking. But what is Allah saying over here? Allah is saying something else. And the Rasulullah used to say, If you're telling me you love me, then understand full well, you have to be tested like me. You will be tested like me. You will go through challenges like me. When you overcome that challenge, then you have proven your life towards me. When you are able to distinguish between right and wrong and make good choices and live by the choices, be proud of that choices, even though you are going through difficulty, then you can say you like Allah and Allah likes you. That's why we know full well, when you go through a challenge and you cannot endure that challenge, and Prozac becomes your next best friend, I don't know what's a new drug out there now, then understand that that challenge is a punishment for you. Now, I'm not against medication, that's a separate issue altogether. But just to run to a doctor, just because you are greedy and you insist that this is what I want, without a proper diagnosis, then understand for well that what you are going through is an adab. Your, in other words, your punishment has already begun in this world. Forget about waiting for the hereafter. And may Allah protect us.
Ameen.
But if that difficulty you are going through makes you stronger, makes you better, allows you to reflect, then understand for well, you have now not only become a better person, your position in the eyes of Allah, in the eyes of the angel, in the eyes of humanity has also increased. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ Allah is saying, undoubtedly understand full well that the hereafter is a splendid position for you. You know, when a person passes away, what do we say? May Allah give you Jannah. And Jannah comes in different ways in the Quran. Jannah al-Khul, Jannah al-Na'im. Different ways Allah says that we will be awarded a different Jannah. And we understand Jannah al-Firdaus. We make a dua if somebody passed away, may Allah give him or her Jannah al-Firdaus. Regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jannah is so unique that Allah calls it maqam mahmuda. It's a dua we make after every adhan. Talking of maqam mahmuda, you know, one day Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was looking for a needle. And she's looking for the needle and she cannot find it. She was sewing, by the way. Now many of us will say, MashaAllah, she's looking for a needle. No, if you're a sister, that's not the way you think. Think out of the box. What is it telling you? It's telling you that you must, just as education is important out of the home, in the home, education is also good. Baking, sewing, crocheting, using the needle, sewing little things. You know, many people think this sewing business is for old people. Go to remote parts of America. Go to various parts of Europe. And you'll see even, not to make it between white and black, but you'll see white women not only crocheting, not only doing needlework, but teaching their granddaughters how to do it as well. And what we Muslims say, the new generation, that's for old people. We are modern. Mm. Oh, really? Since when needlework meant you were primitive in nature? Let's not judge, lest we be judged. So what she's doing her needlework, the needle falls. When the needle falls, she's looking for it. Helter skelter, basically, in that spot. I mean, obviously, she doesn't want Rasulullah to get poked. The needle falls, someone comes in, they can get poked, you don't know what will happen. And Rasulullah walks in. And when he walks in, it's like a radiance that comes into the room. And she spots the needle. And she says, Ya Rasulullah, you are brighter than what is out there. It's night time, that's with the moonlight. That the moonlight is out there, I cannot find what I need. But when you walk in, I can find what I need. That's how. That's the nur, that's the light your face gives off. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts crying.
Man, if I praise you, you're not going to cry. You'll say, send it to the Utah Muslims on the blog. Everybody can see it.
And guess what? He starts crying and what he says? O Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, there are some people in the day of Jannah
that will be deprived from seeing this face of mine.
Ya Rasulullah, how can they be deprived?
Because when my name is taken,
they will not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
When my values are being fought, they'll talk about it, they'll preach it, they'll tell everyone about it. But when it comes to living the life of my message, they would live a life contrary to that. So on that day, Allah will deprive them of observing this face. Tell it to you and I in essence, yes, we may have not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our life. And the hadith makes it very clear that between Thursday Maghrib and Friday, anyone saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad Nabi Ummi wa ala ala Muslima, the different versions of it, Allah has made it such the salutation will go direct to him. As is our belief, every prophet is alive. Yes, we know this. Opinion of Quran, Kullu Nafsin Dha'iqatul Maut, etc. We understand. But there's also an opinion regarding prophets that, yes, we don't know where they are buried. But there's an opinion that says they are alive wherever they are. And Allah makes it such that when we send salutations to Prophet, it goes directly by the appointed angel. And he responds by saying, Wa alaykum as-salam. Now you wonder, I'll end up with this. My brothers, everyone is going through something. Everyone wants a solution. Everyone wants a solution. And we have different ways of getting our solutions. We learn from this hadith and many different hadith that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, sends you salutation and says, Wa alaykum as-salam. Imagine you make salam to me and I don't respond. How do you feel? I mean, you'll think, what's going on with this guy? What's going on with this fellow? You are affected by me, an ordinary fellow. When I don't say wa alaykum as-salam, or even if I say it and I look away from you, you begin to think, why is he so rude? Why is he so mean? Can you imagine if you say sallallahu ala Muhammad repeatedly, and the Prophet is responding by saying wa alaykum as-salam repeatedly, do you think this is not going to change your life? Do you think this will not make you a better person? Do you think this will not transform you? You visit people, you visit your families overseas, you get happy. Do you think if you visit the house or you go to Madinatul Munawwara and you go to the grave, I'm not saying you must go because somebody says it's bidah. You're not going to that. I come to your house, you come to my house, whatever it is, you get happy with a cup of tea. Do you think if you go there and you say As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, you think you will not get happier as a person? You think your life will not transform? Do you think you will not feel better about yourself? So these are the things we have to evaluate, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us, inshallah, into better people. I'll end up with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, we're talking about a man here whose life was to transform people and make them into better individuals. And that's his advice. So a sahabi comes to him and says, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guide me to such an action which if I do it, by my doing it, Allah would love me and people will love me. Understand full well, every human over here wants two things. They want to love and they want to be loved. Every normal human wants to be loved. But someone will say, I don't love people. I don't know what you love. And I know some people have said, I love my dogs more than I love humans. I can only imagine what those women went through in life. So, and by the way, I'm not saying I love someone and therefore she told me that and therefore I'm saying this. No, that's not the issue either. What I'm saying, that's how we have become. So everyone wants to love and they want to be loved. It's a natural tendency. This Sahabi over 1400 years ago is teaching us something. That he went to Rasulullah and said, guide me to such an action that which I do, if I do it, Allah will love me, and also at the same time, the people will love me. And what beautiful advice Rasulullah gave. And this is what he says, have no desire for this world. Desire we all will have. And he said, have no desire. What is he saying? don't run behind the world. Don't make the world your object. Today is Friday, when I go home, my wife better have this business food ready for me. It's my birthday tomorrow. I'm not saying celebrate birthday, it's an issue. So the woman is angry. It's my birthday. What happened? You forgot me. After 5 years, the beginning, before we had the kids, you remembered everything. Now 5 years later, after 2 kids, you forget it's my birthday. Don't worry, sister, old is gold. As we age, you're getting better. Men and women alike. So suffice to say, Rasulullah SAW said, have no desire. Don't run behind the world beyond that which is necessary. And number two, have no eyes, in other words, on what others have. Let them enjoy. He has a beautiful this, she has a beautiful that. Let them enjoy. Don't make their things your priority. Wish them well and move on. And thereafter, Rasulullah SAW says, you do these two things, oh my beloved Sahabi, Allah will not only love you, the people will also love you. So inshallah, we will follow these few words of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So just as he has become a light to the Ummah, inshallah, we also will continue to be a light for ourselves, for our families, for our community, and for our nation. Allah, may Allah help us and guide us all time. Wa alaikum assalam.